Amen. Do take a seat for me on the floor, and I'd like to invite Brian up, and Brian's going to come and share with us. And as Brian comes up, it'd be really good if we just prayed for Brian. So Father, we thank you so much for Brian. We thank you that he is here with us. We thank you for the word that he's going to bring, for the story that he's going to share. God, may you speak through him and may you challenge us. Challenge us with what we hear today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Woo! Woo! Yeah, come on. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to thank my mum, my brother. No, I've got no brothers, actually. I've only got sisters. So I can't break thank. But I've got four sisters. Who can beat that? Who can beat four sisters? Hey? You got a sister. A sister. Who's got more than four sisters? No. So you haven't got more than four sisters, Lissy. I know you haven't. You got two. Two. I've got double the amount you have. And you know what? I'm stuck right in the middle. Right in the middle. I've got two older sisters and two younger sisters. But I've not come to talk to you about my sisters. I've come to talk to you. They've asked me to share a bit about my life. Now, I don't know if I can do that because I've got some really bad stuff that I've done in my life that I haven't even told my wife. So whatever I share, whatever I share tonight, can I ask you to promise me something? You're not going to tell anyone else. All right? So if I share stories of my life, you promise you're not going to tell anybody else. Is that okay? Particularly my church. Don't tell my church. That's what I mean. You can't tell the church. Your mum's the administrator and it'll go everywhere and I'll be sacked. All right? So unless you want me to get sacked, then you can go and tell your mum and the trustees. There is actually a trustee here tonight. So I've got to be very careful not to tell stuff. So I want you all to make a promise, right? And I all want you to raise your hand so I can see particular people in the house tonight. It's going to make a promise. You promise you're not going to tell my personal stories outside of this building and this time tonight. Hands up. I want all the hands up because I don't want... Sarah, your hand has got to go up. Sarah, your hand has got to go up. Otherwise, she's got to go. Chuck her out if she don't put her hand up. Chuck her out. So I want you to promise you're not going to tell people my stories. Right? You can tell people about the gospel. Put your hand up. Chuck her out, Matt. All right, she's got her hand up. Okay, that's the only one I was really worried about. Oh, and Erica. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Right. First of all, I've got to say this. Who doesn't own a mobile phone? You don't own a mobile phone. You have not got a mobile phone. Hands up if you get notifications on your mobile phone. Hands up if you get notifications on your mobile phone. Most of you, right? Now, imagine this, because this is where my story would go absolutely horrible if this happened to me. If I had a notification that come up and it came up on everyone's phone about everything about me, everything I've ever said, everything I've ever done, everything I've ever thought came up on the notification of everybody's phone, everybody would know everything about my story. Hands up if you would like everybody to know everything about your story, your life, everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever said, everything you've ever done. Hands up if you would be happy if your mum saw it, your gran saw it. Yeah, right. See, this is the thing. That's why you have to promise me that some of the stories I tell you, you're not going to tell anyone else. All right? Because this is exclusive only for tonight. It started off when I was about, as far back as I can remember, I was about 4 years old. And one of the first bad things I ever did, I broke into a car. 4 years. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Achievements in life. Come on. Achievements in life. Now, that was one of the first bad things I ever did. I was sitting in the bath. It was a Sunday night. We always had a bath on Sunday nights, once a week, whether we were dirty or not. All right? And my mum said to me, she came into the bathroom and she said, have you got something to tell me, Brian? I said, don't think so. She goes, Mr. Cheeseman's car? That's what his name was, Mr. Cheeseman. I said, no, I don't know what you're talking about, mum. Then she handed opened her hand up, and there were some screws and nails and bits and bobs in her hand, which I'd stolen from his car. And I had to then confess, because it was written all over my face. The second thing that went on in my life, first time I went to school, I'm not good at school. I wasn't good at school. I couldn't cope with school very well. I wasn't born for school, right? I wasn't created for school, I don't think. I went to school, and my first day was absolutely amazing. I got home, and my mum said, "How did school go today?" I said, "It was fantastic." She goes, "Why are you back so soon?" I said, "Because it's finished." She goes, "It's only 10 o'clock. I said, "Well, they said class was finished." She goes, "That was your break. That was your break time. You got to go back to school." I said, "But I've been there an hour." And I went back to school. They took me back to school. And it just got worse from there. At 5 years old, you know the second craziest thing I did at 5 years old? I drove my first vehicle. Yeah, check me out. Come on, round of applause. Come on. Yeah, come on. I don't know if I should be telling you this. Hands up if you're from Christian families. Don't go back and tell your parents. For goodness sake, don't go back and tell your parents. 5 years old, right? Back in the day, there was electric milk floats. Anybody ever heard of electric milk floats? I'm going back nearly 50 years now. Yes, you know about electric milk. You know, who's heard about electric cars? Yeah? 50 years ago, there was electric milk floats. We were very good with the eco stuff back then. It's all gone pear-shaped from then. So they're trying to reclaim it back. 5 years old, the milkman was out having a cup of tea in somebody's house, and I saw this milk float, and I thought, I want to drive that van. I want to drive it. So me and two mates, we got hold of the handbrake, because they were really hard. I was only 5 years old, and we managed to release this handbrake off and pull the handbrake down, and it only had accelerator and brake, right? So the steering wheel was like this. Right? It was huge, and I'm not exaggerating. And we had to... three of us turn the steering wheel around because it's so hard, because there's no power steering. You'll understand when you start driving, if you haven't already started driving. You're lucky. There's no such thing as non-power steering cars, right? They don't exist anymore. And we had to yank the steering wheel around, and I put my foot on the accelerator, and it whoosh went off about 4 miles an hour. It was really fast, okay? But it was when you're 5 years old and you're not expecting it. Zoom. And I tell you what, I went to school from 5 years age. I did go to school most days, but I really did struggle. I always felt I was stupid. You know, I can't tell you why necessarily. Some people told me I was stupid. Not everyone. But sometimes people tell me I'm stupid. And I struggled at school. I couldn't do the stuff at school. I wasn't good at English. I wasn't good at maths. I wasn't good at the academic stuff. Maybe you are good at the academic stuff. Praise God for that. I'm really happy for you. Sorry? Okay. For he's talking to me then. I don't get a lot of people talking to me, so I seize the opportunity when I hear somebody talk. Oh, I know. I play the violin. It's only a little one. But I honestly struggled at school. In fact, the only thing my school and I agreed with when I was 15 is that it's time for me to leave. That's the only thing we agreed on. And they said to me, "Go home and don't come back." And I said, "Hallelujah! That's the first time we've agreed on a decision being made." And I went and I left school without any exams. And I hated school. I really did. In fact, I missed 50% of my senior school education. 50%. Yes, mate. I went to where am I back? I went to East Hampstead Park School. I'm not from round here. So I'm from, originally I'm from London. Come on. Yay. So I was born and raised in Battersea, south of the river, southwest. Yeah. So that's where I'm from. So originally from southwest London. Brought up there until I was in my teens. Then I went to Bracknell. Do you know Bracknell? Berkshire? No. Went up there. That's where I grew up in most of my teens. I used to get in trouble with the police all the time. In fact, I'll tell you one story. So I'm going to bounce all over the place here because I've got loads of crazy stories. I was ringing up my wife. I was 18. Not sure, no, we weren't married then. You were my fiancée. I was 18, right? I rang her up and said, I'm coming home because I was a milkman. I became a milkman. That's what happened in my first job. And I finished work at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And I rang my girlfriend, my fiancée up, June. She's over there. She's, woo, woo, come on, round of applause. Yes. Yeah, come on. Right, I rang her up. I said, I'm just on my way home. Can you get some breakfast going? She's in floods of tears. She's pouring her heart out. You know, like that on the phone. I can understand a word she's saying. I said, what's up? She said, the police have been round. They want to arrest you. And I said, oh, don't worry about them. I'll go and see them and sort them out. Because I was really cocky, right? I got in trouble with the police a lot. I had the police come around my house about at least once a month for the stuff, some of this crazy stuff I did. I can't tell you all of it, all right, because it's not good. And I come back to that in a moment. But so I went to the police station and in Bracknell. This is in Bracknell. And I went there and I got to the desk and they said, who are you? I said, I'm Brian Stocker. I said, what are you doing here? I said, apparently you want to arrest me. And I said, oh, yes, wait a minute. And they said, come through this door. And they cuffed me and arrested me, right? I said, okay, what are you arresting me for? They said, BMW? I said, oh, yeah, no worries. So so I understood what they were arresting me for. And I got arrested and I was interviewed and I was questioned. I put in a cell while they investigated. I was never put in prison because I was never caught for it and convicted for something that I got involved in. I got involved in a bit of a scrap with some guy and I tried to beat him up and stuff and he ran away. And so I beat his car up instead. So I've done a lot of damage to the car, and that's what they were trying to arrest me for. So this is the sort of type of person I grew up to be. I grew up to be quite an active person in things that you shouldn't do. And that's based on the fact that I felt I was really stupid. All my life I felt I was stupid. I've been homeless twice. I've been stabbed in the back. At the age of 5, in my school in London, I got stabbed in the back by my best friend. I've rolled over 3 vehicles off the road into a field. I've hit a tree head on at 50 miles an hour and gone straight through the window. Right, I was like hanging through the window like this, and as I was going, I fell asleep at the wheel. What I've done, I fell asleep. So don't come in the car with me. I fell asleep at the wheel because I was working crazy hours. And I fell asleep. And all of a sudden, I hit this bridge. And I bounced off this bridge. And I was in a lorry. I was in a big milk lorry, a 7.5-ton truck. And as I woke up, I saw this tree running towards me. I swear it was running towards me, right? And that's what I said to the guy, the police, when they said what happened. I said, this tree just started coming, running towards me. And I was trying to swerve, but I didn't have my hands on the steering wheel because I was going, ah! Like that, see? I was screaming. And I was only 17, 18 then. I was only 17, 18. And my whole life flashed before me. And I thought, this is the end. I'm going to die. And I went, smack! Straight in the tree and straight out the window. I'm hanging out the window. It's no word of a lie. It's as true as I stand here now. And I'm spitting out glass. Like this. I'm spitting out glass. And then it all comes out. And I hear this dripping. I hear drip, drip, drip. I think, it's going to blow up. I'm going to be burned to death. I've just survived hitting a tree. And now I'm going to burn. I've got to get out. So I managed to get up because in those trucks, you sit on the engine. The engine's under your seat, and there's nothing to protect you, right? And it squashed my legs. So my legs are sort of stuck in. So I'm trying to get out of this truck, right? And I fall right out outside, and then I look at this truck, and it is smashed up. It's completely mangled up. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And I was sorry, mate, you've got your hand up. You've had your hand up ages. No. I'll tell you about that one in a minute. So I'm looking at this truck and my legs are really wobbly because I'm just like nervous. I'm got an adrenaline going. I'm almost passing out. And I say, I've got to find a telephone box because we didn't have mobile phones then. This is pre mobile phones, long time ago, 4 decades ago. And so I'm walking because it's in the middle of the country. And I eventually get to this place where they I knocked on the door and they looked out. This was like 2 a.m. in the morning, okay? And they looked and they went, no, we're closed. I'm spitting glass out like this. And then they let me in and I rang you up, didn't I, June? I rang you up. I said, can you get the police? I've had an accident. I'm spitting glass out of my mouth. She's going, what? What's happened? Oh, I've just hit a tree. Anyway, praise God, right? Praise God. I didn't believe then. I wasn't a believer then. There's so many times I've hit other vehicles in my teens and rolled vehicles. I've never come out with a broken bone or a scar that's left visible. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I have sadly and annoyingly been drunk. And I can't tell you some of those stories because they just go too far. Okay. But I used to get drunk on a weekly basis. Sorry? No, I didn't actually. You know what? I'll tell you what I used to do, right? I used to get drunk. I used to drink some weird combination of stuff. And I used to stagger home. And you know what I used to do? I used to lay on my bed and the room used to spin like mad, right? And then I'd lean over and I'd vomit. Vomit everywhere. And I'd pull my rug over it so my mum didn't see it, right? Sorry? Why did I do it? Because I felt I was stupid. I was sold a lie that I was stupid. Yeah, come on. Thank you. I love these guys. You know, one thing I've learned, one of the many lessons I've learned is that we are naturally born intelligent. We learn to be stupid. We learn to be stupid because sometimes that's what people give us the impression that we are, that we're stupid. I failed at school. I didn't do one exam. If I did do an exam, I'd have failed them all. When I done my mocks, they were ungradable. At age 15, I was kicked out of school. Age 17, I was kicked out of my family home, my mum's home. My mum kicked me out. We're very sad. I slept on the streets. That's the first time I became homeless. June's parents heard that I was sleeping on the streets this time of the year, I was born in 1967, that's 1984, I was homeless in January through to February. It was absolutely like these minus figures now. I slept in my car. I did have a car, but it's really cold. A car does not keep you warm because you can't keep the engine running all the time. You can't keep your heater going all the time. It runs out of fuel. And I was sleeping in my car, and then June's parents asked me to come in and sleep in their house. I lived there for 2 years, and June and I bought our first house together. Yeah, amen. Amen. I've always been a bit of a dreamer. I've always dreamed of owning my own house. And at 19 years old, we managed to buy our first house. But I worked really hard. But nevertheless, I was kicked out at 17. At the age of 26, I found myself homeless again. Homeless with June, my wife, and two children. My eldest two children, Nikita and Craig. Found ourselves homeless again. I'd lost literally everything. I lost my home. I just about kept my job. I lost my business. I had my own business. Lost it all. Absolutely everything. You know, I've been chasing a dream in my life that didn't exist. I was chasing a dream that one day I'll be clever. One day people wouldn't look at me and think he's stupid because I didn't have any education. I didn't have any great career plan or I wasn't that successful. I always felt I was stupid. And I've learnt, certainly being a Christian, that is a lie, an absolute lie. No one is stupid, absolutely no one, okay? I felt rejected by my own family. You know, I walked into a pub one night. This is after I've been chucked out of my family home. This is true as I stand here again. I walked in, I saw two of my sisters, my elder sisters, and I said hello to my sisters, and they looked at me like this as I walked up to them, and pretend you were me, you looked at me, and they just turned around like this and carried on talking to their mates, and they just completely blanked me out. Now, that's rejection. Now, I love my sisters. I get on with my sisters. I get on with all of them. I've reconciled with them, and we love each other. But at that time, I was rejected. My mum, when I rang her up, when my first child was born, our daughter, I rang her up and said, Mum, would you like to see your first grandchild? She said, no. You know, that breaks your heart when people reject you. I don't know if you've ever faced rejection, but my dad left when I was 8 years old. He wasn't really much of a dad. Lovely guy. I get on really well with him now. But he's a rubbish dad. He really is. But a lovely guy. So when your dad walks out on you, your mum chucks you out of the house, she won't talk to you, she won't visit your daughter, her granddaughter, and your sisters and your aunties and your uncles won't talk to you. It was really hard. I felt an absolute failure. Yes, mate. Okay, cool. Okay, so at 26 years old, I've got no home, a family, no money. But, you know, I've always been an optimistic person. I've always believed there's a way forward. So I was this is what happened on the day that they chucked us out of the house. They came round, they said, tomorrow you're going to be leaving this place at 12 o'clock. I said, I've got nowhere to live. They said, that's your problem. So I put all my family and my worldly beings in a van ready to move to nowhere. June said, where are we going to move to? I said, we're just going to a hotel. She said, but we've got no money. I said, they don't know that. So because I was very confident, very cocky, really, really cocky, I got into loads of fights. I would walk up to a group of people and I'd pick the one that looks like the leader and I'd smack him in the mouth first. And then I would get into a big scrap. I was really cocky. Sometimes I won fights, sometimes I got beaten up badly. So you win some, you lose some. And at age 26, I was still really cocky. And as I lost everything, my life had slowed down because I used to work 90 hours a week to get lots of money, because that was my dream, getting lots of money. And I used to work 90 hours a week. But when I lost everything, I was down to 40 hours a week, a normal working week, 40 hours. I don't work 40 hours. I always work more because I love my job. I've always loved working. And for 2 years, I started thinking about, what is life all about? My wife had become a Christian a year before that. June had become a Christian, and she said, the life we're leading, Brian, is wrong. She goes, I'm not leaving you, but I'm leaving your business, because I ran a business. I had a shop, I had a dairy, I had a little arcade thing and a few other little sidelines going on. And she said, I'm not leaving you, but I'm leaving the business, because this is crazy. It's wrecking our lives. And that just caused me to think, I can't do this on my own. So I just went down to one little job, one little milk round, and I started thinking about, what is life all about? And June we started going to church, which is really weird, because I'm not into religion. But what I discovered is that religion is about rules and Jesus is about setting you free. That's what I learnt. And June started going to church, and she put a Bible down the sofa to hide from me, because I was quite an aggressive person and I would throw the Bible out the window because I wasn't into that. In fact, what happened the day we got kicked out of the house, They came round with a set of keys. The council came round with a set of keys for an apartment, for a flat. And I went round to this flat, and the workmen were still there. This is how cocky I was. And and they said, you can't come in here, mate. We're still working. I said, well, you'll have to go, because I'm moving in. He goes, no, you're not. He goes, I've got all my tools here. So I picked all his tools up and threw them out the window. And I said, you better go, because we're coming in. So we went in. No carpet, no phone, nothing. We went in. That's how cocky was. That's how cocky I was. I was just a notorious... Because I felt stupid and I felt I had to be something. I had to beef myself up and I had to be something I really wasn't. And in June's 2 years, from the age of 26 to 28, I started secretively reading June's Bible. And I thought, this is hard work. And then somebody invited me onto an Alpha course. And I thought, oh, they're Bible bashing nutcases. And June kept going on about this. And I said, look, I'll go once and that's it. Don't badger me anymore. I went every week after that, and during that course, I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. Amen. Thank you. And I just want to read you one passage, and then I'm going to hand you back over to Matt or whoever is going to need to take you on from here. This one passage speaks to me in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The thief is the accuser, the one that says you're stupid, the one that says you're not worth it, the one that says you're rejected, the one that says you're not worth anything, you're going to come to nothing, that's a lie. That's the enemy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, have it to the maximum. I've always loved life. I've never given up, despite of nearly being killed several times, being stabbed in the back and a whole host of things. Never given up, being homeless twice, never given up, because something inside of me was searching for truth. And I found that truth when I was 28 years old. I wish I was much younger when I found it, because I would have discovered more about life. I love life then. I love it even more now. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you never take in the lies of the enemy, that you are stupid, you are worth nothing, that you are worthless. You are worth so much. You are one of God's crowns, God's jewels in his crowns. You are a precious stone. You are the most beautiful you. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you never lose sight of that, because he's given you life to the maximum, better than you can ever imagine. Let's just pray, and I'll hand over to Matt. Mighty God, bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for everybody here tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would just remind everyone here that you died for them because they are worth it. They are precious. They are stars in the universe, and you have died for each and every one, and that you can give us new life as we say, yes, Jesus, be my Lord, be my King. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brian. Let's give him a round of applause. Really, really powerful to hear your story and what God has done in your life. I want you to quickly get back into your groups from early when you were chatting with one of the leaders, one of the team. And we're just going to pick up a little bit on that and for a few minutes before we come to worship again to finish off.